You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. Hey, Jeff, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were living in Mankato in the 1880s, how would you travel around town?
Horse and buggy, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Did you know that streetcars operated in Mankato during two different eras?
Okay, now you say that, I believe I did know something about that, but not in the 1880s already.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now you got to fill us in.
All right, I will.
They're in the early 1900s too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, for 32 years we had streetcars
what?
In Mankato.
Okay.
So in an era of the horse and oxen travel of over 100 years ago, the streetcar system in Mankato must have been a pretty novel and exciting event when the streetcar arrived.
I don't think so.
So today we will explore the history of Mankato's street railway systems. So hop on board and be
can I do the horn?
I love it. Be surrounded by history. Horse-drawn streetcars had been operating in hundreds of cities before Mankato finally got around to installing one in the mid-1880s. The Street Railway Company ran from 1886 until 1895. Then there was a 13-year stretch with no streetcar line. In 1908, the Mankato Electric Traction Company began and was in business until 1930.
Wow.
The companies were two very different entities and have two very different stories. Their only similarity is that they ran on some of the same streets.
Hmm.
So let's get started with the Mankato Street Railway Company. This was organized in 1886 with $50,000 of capital stock by a bunch of gentlemen. I'm going to rattle off their names, and I want to see if anything sounds familiar.
Okay.
William Farr, John No, J.A. Willard, Stephen Lamb, George Clark, J.R. Jones, and George Piper.
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 That's from Ruggable Men of Garden City.
That's right. That's
yep.
right.
Yep.
Which was one of our previous podcasts. Construction of the horse-drawn street railway was completed in July of 1886. It ran for 20 blocks along Front Street from Vine to Willard Streets, where the streetcar barn was located on the north side of the street of Willard. The second line was laid on Front Street all the way down to Sibley Park and then later to Woodland Avenue and the Blue Earth River Bridge. So they were basically crossing, crisscrossing town,
mm-hmm.
north to south, south to north, and a little bit east to west, all in that primary downtown portion of Mankato. On July 23rd, 1886, the Mankato Street Railway was officially opened for travel with 966 passengers carried the first day.
Wow.
Over 1,000 on the second day and 1,400 on the third.
No, nobody got hurt those first 2 days. Let's go try it out today. What do you say?
Exactly. Had Mankato residents continued to patronize the streetcar at this rate, the first street railway would have been a profitable enterprise. It turned out that except for circus days and other citywide events, these were the biggest usage days ever. Low usage plagued this endeavor for its entire existence. To increase ridership, two extensions to the lines were added that very next year. The first extension ran from Front Street North on Washington Street to the Omaha Passenger Depot. And the second ran from Front Street East on Liberty Street and into the Lincoln Park neighborhood.
Okay.
This last extension proved unprofitable and was taken up in 1890. The tracks were used, so they pulled up the tracks, and then they used them to extend the line from Front Street down to Sibley Park and Woodland Avenue. By 1890, there were 3.5 miles of narrow gauge steel track. The company owned 5 horse cars and 17 horses with 3 drivers and a foreman employed. Okay, so you have to picture this because I think this is kind of, you know, in your mind, you've got to realize this, this is not electric. This is putting the tracks down, but the streetcar is being pulled around town by a horse.
Right.
Okay? So this is the horse transportation.
The only thing I'm baffled by this on, and this is just the entire industry itself at this time because this is the way it's being done,
mm-hmm.
why not just get wagons and move them that way? Because then you wouldn't have the cost of the tracks.
Right.
Just saving saving costs. It'd be an early bus, right?
Right.
But anyway, that's the one thing that baffles me about the story already.
I agree.
Okay.
So the company also owned its own graders to clear the tracks of snow in the winter. The streets of Mankato in those days were rutted and muddy, especially after rainy days and during the spring snowmelt. There were problems with horse car systems. The average speed was a slow 5 to 6 miles an hour, and derailments were frequent. Travel in the snow and going up and down hills was difficult, especially think about it, this is horsepower.
Yeah.
Up to 5 times as many horses as cars were needed, and horses were subject to many physical ailments from the hard work and were good for only 3 to 5 years. In addition, the problem of manure created sanitation issues.
This bus keeps on crapping.
Yeah, exactly. At 5 places spaced apart every 3 to 4 blocks, there was a siding. So 2 streetcars traveling in opposite directions could pass each other. So basically, you could pull over.
Mm-hmm.
When the end of the line came, the streetcar wouldn't turn around, but rather the driver would unhook the horse and hook it up on the other end of the car.
Okay.
4 horse cars operated daily from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. The car barn was located near the slough on South Front Street. The slough is where we know is today as Mankato High School.
Oh,
Mankato
okay.
West
yes.
High School.
That's
Sorry.
Right. Because yes. of, I mean, that's still pretty wet over there by Rasmussen Woods.
Yep, exactly. To ride on a streetcar running on smooth rails, traveling from one end of town to the other would have been a dream. The line was a losing enterprise from the very beginning. Only on such days as fairs or circuses did it ever pay expenses. The men who had put their money into it were confident that Mankato would grow rapidly and the outskirts of town would build up the need for the streetcar system. However, as the years went by, the losses mounted and the men became discouraged. In the meantime, on the national scene, electric streetcars were beginning to replace the horse cars. For example, around 1890, on the smaller gauge track in Minneapolis was replaced by the wider track and electric overhead wires were put into place. So 1890... They're already making that conversion up in Minneapolis.
Right.
So talk of renovating the Mankato system was discussed from both a financial aspect and a regulatory one, because Mankato, the city of Mankato, regulated this, but no changes were made. The horse car system continued to limp along, losing money every year until operations ceased in 1895. On October 1st, 1895, the Mankato Street Railway Company surrendered its franchise. Mm. At that point, the tracks were taken out and creditors were satisfied. The company lost about $75,000 or $12,000 per member.
Wow.
So, I mean, you've put it in that little inflation calculator that we always have handy. I mean, that's a big chunk of money.
That's a lot of money to invest.
It's a lot of money. And so when I say they lost their franchise, it was their agreement that they had with the city of Mankato. Mankato had proven to be too small a town to support such a railway. Nothing remains from this era of the streetcar except some fare tokens, 1 photo of a horse and a streetcar.
That's it?
Uh-huh. And most remarkably, the ledger book from the years the company existed is preserved at the Blue Earth County Historical Society. It shows how much this street railway company paid for feed, horseshoeing, harnesses, the horses themselves, plus interest paid to the shareholders, money taken in by the drivers, attorney's fees for various cases. There was a lot of drama. Driver's wages and the cost of maintaining the track.
Of course.
So at this point, it's a great little spot to take a break, and we'll come back and learn more about the second half of the Mankato Railway System. Welcome back to Surrounded by History. Today, we're talking about the Mankato Railway System. And just a little refresher, back in 1895, our very first railway system, which was horse-powered, ended in 1895. Now, 13 years goes by with Mankato community trying to start a new streetcar business, but always coming up short with either capital or willpower. With cities like Winona and St. Cloud, Duluth, Minneapolis, and Stillwater having successful electric streetcar system, Mankato was overdue for this business. Finally, in 1906, things came together. The Mankato Electric Traction Company was formed under the direction of W.L. Hickson, E.D. Ewing, W.D. Willard, and H.E. Hentz. During that year, the citizens were asked to help bankroll the endeavor by buying subscriptions or stock, and a list of over 200 subscribers was published in the Mankato Free Press.
Oh, wow.
In 1907, construction began on the tracks, plus a streetcar barn and offices were constructed and located at 1103 North Broad Street. Today, that's the location of Our Savior's Lutheran Church across from Franklin Elementary School.
Okay.
It was a triangular-shaped tract of land especially adapted to the use of the railway company. One of the buildings on this property was used as a college to train conductors and motormen. The laying of the tracks cost between $15,000 to $17,000 a mile, which was considered a relatively small investment. Two lines or routes of track were laid. One track line on North Broad Street near Turtelot Park ran to Front Street and then on to Sibley Park. On Front Street, between Main and Cherry Streets, double tracks allowed for cars going in opposite directions to pass. A second line from Front Street up Main Street Hill to Fifth Street, where then it passed by the courthouse and the teachers' college, continued onto Warren Street by the Blue Earth County Historical Society, and onto Willard Street, so out into the Lincoln Park neighborhood. In 1913, this line was extended from this corner, from Willard to Front Street. However, in 1919, the extension was taken up, and the line then was extended from the corner of Pleasant and Willard Streets over to Baker Avenue and Moreland Avenue near the Milwaukee Railroad tracks.
All right, we've never talked about the Milwaukee Railroad tracks over in that area before.
Right, so that might be a little pin we'll put in and come back to that one. So I know it's kind of hard to follow where these tracks go, but there's some really great maps at the Blue Earth County Historical Society if you really want to see where these track lines were. So May 1st, 1908 was declared Streetcar Day in Mankato as the lines opened for business. It would go down in history as, quote, the grandest that ever was, end quote, according to the Free Press. Wait till you hear this. A 28-piece band played in the street. A horse racing program was held at Sibley Park. And the Mankato Fairgrounds played host to a baseball game between Mankato and Madison Lake. There was an evening banquet at the Sawpaw Hotel, a mask carnival on Front Street, and all downtown merchants left their storeroom lights on all evening.
Wow. That's a lot going on for Streetcar Day.
Oh, just wait. Speeches extolling the eight officers of the Mankato Electric Traction Company went on until midnight. Guests were supplied with Mankato-made cigars, each of which was encased in a vellum wrapper bearing a picture of Streetcar Number 5, Mankato's first trolley car. One speaker said that even if the company never turned a profit, the overall economic benefit to Mankato would be tremendous.
Well, they were really selling hope, weren't they?
Quote, good feeling prevailed, and if uptown and downtown factions still exist, they are united in one thing at least, that the trolley line will return great benefits to Mankato, end quote. The streetcars, it was believed, would provide customers easy access to downtown shopping, and the reliable transportation for the workforce would be a boost to businesses. At a cost of 5 cents a ride, it was affordable for most everyone. For the first 2 years of operation, the company reported they had collected over 1.5 million fares and had $11,800 of profit after expenses, interest, payments, and taxes.
That's a big cut there for everything.
That's not a big margin of profit.
No, it's not.
In 1912, so we're just talking about 4 years later, the original owners sold most of the common stock to Walter Cummings of Chicago, who took control of the company. A year after that, J.O. Schultz of Iowa City bought up the common stock and took control of the company. So it's really having some big changes in a very short amount of time. Different sources reported varying numbers of equipment the company owned. But in general, there were 5 motor cars and 7 trailers plus 1 sweeper car used in the winter to clean the tracks of snow. The cars were 30 feet long and could run in both directions. So when a car reached the end of a line, the motorman would simply turn the connecting pole on the top of the car to face in the opposite direction to interface with the live electric wire running overhead. So it had a little hook on it.
Yep.
And then they would just take it and they would move it.
And to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool, though.
Streetcars ran from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily, with times running every 12 to 20 minutes between cars. Each car could accommodate 30 passengers comfortably, but on circus days and during other big community events, up to 120 people would pack in. Okay, so you could fit 30 comfortably, and somehow you could get 120 packed in.
Somebody sent on a lap. I'm letting you know right now.
On these busy days, 3 or 4 open trailers could be attached to the motor car to accommodate a total of 11,000 fares throughout the day.
Can we also point out that Mankato had a lot of circuses, apparently?
I know they did. They actually really did. The we talked about one when we did our topic about the typhoid outbreak.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We did.
The trailers were discontinued in 1914 as they proved to be more bother than they were worth. Like any business, the streetcar company hired its share of memorable characters and events. Veteran conductor Ferd Buchholz, knew what time the customers on his line should be up in the morning and often awakened them by ringing his bell on the way to the end of the line. On his way back, they would be there waiting for him to pick them up so they could go to work.
It's nice.
Yeah. But as you can imagine, there were a lot of troubles, too, with the streetcar. The streetcar company and the police were at a loss to prevent hooligans from causing mischief for the business. One day, some young people pulled up a post near the courthouse and tried to derail the streetcar as it came along by placing the post and a large stone on the tracks. The motorman saw the obstacles and killed the current to avoid major damage, but not before running over the post. Another incident, on Halloween 1 year, troublemakers greased the tracks on Main Street Hill. Okay, I just can't even think about this. But thankfully, the act was discovered in time. Could you imagine the disaster that would have been?
Oh, absolutely.
The company requested the police hire a plainclothes detective to capture the wayward youth. Even without mischief makers, the streetcars saw their share of accidents, from cars jumping the tracks to collisions between the streetcars and the automobiles.
Yeah, at this point, now we got cars on the road, too.
Exactly. The Mankato Electric Traction Company was constantly searching for ways to increase ridership. In 1913, tracks were added to Pleasant and Willard Streets. In 1919, Pleasant Street was extended to Baker, up Baker to Moreland, and down Moreland to the railroad tracks. At this point, the Willard Street connection was taken up. Just over 5 miles of track was used for the streetcar line. Hoping to attract more fares out to Sibley Park on the west end of the line, the company bought 3 monkeys for the zoo and paid the electric bill for new lights at the park. They also offered free movies at Sibley Park until the movie theaters in town cried foul because of unfair competition. Each car was operated by a conductor and a motorman, but around 1915, the company started employing only the motorman, a sign of possible financial trouble for the streetcar. Beginning in 1922, the company steadily operated at a loss. Also at this time, for the next 8 years, there was tension between the company and the city. The city claimed the streetcar company was responsible for the upkeep of the pavement between the tracks, which they had no money to fix. Also, with the increase of the number of automobiles, the Front Street section became crowded. Imagine this. Cars parked on both sides of the street, plus two streetcar tracks in the middle, and then cars coming and going in both directions, and pedestrians crossing the street at random. It had to be crowded and unsafe and just mind-boggling.
I could imagine. There's just tons of stuff going on, especially people just going in and out of cars, too. They walk out in between cars the way it is.
Yeah, exactly. In 1922, it's still – this is now the point in time where it's getting to be more economical for the everyday person to have a vehicle, have a car. So it is – you still have people learning how to drive. In addition, the Mankato Electric Traction Company could not set its own rates, but was at the mercy of the city council.
Ooh.
The rate was 5 cents, even back in the horse-drawn era. The 1925 company requested an increase from a nickel to a dime. People were furious and said the company could make a profit at two rides for 15 cents. Obviously, a nickel meant a lot more then than it does now.
Yeah.
Finally, the city said enough and revoked the franchise. On March 1st, 1930, the last streetcar stopped operating, and thus Mankato's Second Street Railway ceased to exist. The automobile proved to be its demise. While the citizens in the end were not sad to see it go, for a few years of glory, the streetcars served an important and fascinating role in the town's history. Once the bankrupt streetcar company officially closed their doors, the city of Mankato had to take over and pay for the removal of the 5 miles of rails. The city ended up selling some of them for $4 per 30-foot rail.
Wow.
After the rails were removed from the streets, the city had to purchase 30,000 paving bricks to replace the missing and broken bricks.
Now, paving bricks is in the ones that are like on the way to Sibley Park?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. The streetcar barn on North Broad Street sat neglected before being used by a couple of local businesses. Then in 1950, when the Congregation of Our Savior's Lutheran were looking for a church home, they turned to the streetcar barn. After much sweat equity, the church created a building its members were most proud of. Evidence of streetcar tracks were found even recently when the city did a big street project of Baker Avenue in 2002. While digging, the contractor tore up dozens of wooden ties. Even 72 years after its demise, the streetcar's footprint was still evident.
That's cool.
The eventual failure of both street railway companies in Mankato was not the fault of any individuals running the companies. Outside forces changed the landscapes. First, for the horse-drawn streetcar, the relatively small population of Mankato didn't prove enough ridership to make a profit. The electric streetcar did, in fact, make a profit for a dozen years, but eventually the coming of the automobile was just too much competition. Hundreds and hundreds of electric streetcar companies went bankrupt about the same time Mankato's did. What is unique for Mankato is that 13-year gap between the two streetcar eras. Other cities, like Minneapolis, quickly transitioned from horses to electricity, but why Mankato did not will remain a historical curiosity. We hope you enjoyed today's program as we explored Mankato's street railway history. All of the information we shared today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, and in particular, two special articles that were written for Historical Society publications. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.